Item 13, request for public hearing.
Good morning. That happens to be exactly the item I would have told you.
Fantastic. We're thinking alike. That's important.
There was some very significant legislation that I'm going to talk about and ask for a public hearing to go forward on what's now known as oyster resource user fees.
Did you go to 13?
Of course, I don't see the file. Let me go to a different directory. Always good to have a backup plan. If this doesn't work, I don't know what to tell you. It's not accessible, so.
Rob?
Yes.
I think if you go back one, I think it was the third one down.
Go back which way?
If you go back to your original screen.
Okay. You did see it?
I believe I did.
Eagle eyes in the audience here? Okay.
Oyster user fees. Third one from the top. Is that it?
Yeah, but that's a Word document. I think that's the...
Oh, sorry.
I think that's just the... what you have in front of you. So let me go in front of you because I don't see any budding MIS help out there right now to get to my P drive, but we'll survive.
Always the P drive that gives you the trouble.
Yeah, P drive is our user drive. If you go to your evaluation, I can go through this pretty painlessly. And for a long time, there have been some problems with our oyster replenishment tax and also inspection tax. In your packet, you'll see some information that talks about the inspection tax being 3 cents, starting 3 cents on anyone who takes oysters. And the replenishment tax had been a graded tax starting at a very low amount, depending on the bushes you take, and it escalated from there. The problems were they were difficult to collect. The Marine Police used to collect the taxes at one point, and former Commissioner Bowman really didn't want that practice to continue. It was not streamlined, and obviously the Marine Police have lots of activities besides continuing that practice. It also was very difficult because we didn't know on leased ground, other than the 10-year proof of use, it's really hard to know who is producing and who's not. There was a license that was started in 2007 for leased ground for oyster product owners, but even if they had the license, you still had to turn around with the second problem of identifying them and knowing that they were reporting. So there's an embedded problem here with the oyster situation that has existed, and it's been the lack of reporting to go along with the lack of collection of money to really get an idea of what is being produced in the Commonwealth. And there's been many wringing of hands and ways to try and think about this. But even the mandatory reporting system in 2007 only solved part of that. Dr. Wesson started to campaign a little bit to try and improve things, and he would go around, and what he found out was that in a lot of cases, the MRC 53s for the taxes were being filled out. So a lot of the industry was filling those out, but they were failing to report under mandatory reporting. And so this wasn't helping because when Dr. Wesson comes to the commission, and talks about the replenishment plan, but also the oyster harvest and seasons in the fall, there's very imprecise information that is always carried forward to the commission. So two things are really benefits from this oyster resource user fee. One, it is a stable amount of money. It's going to be roughly $280,000. But at the same time, this is just a part of what's needed. The Blue Ribbon panel back in 2007 talked about a need for $2.5 million per year for oyster replenishment. A lot of you know about how shell costs have gone. That same oyster replenishment panel back in 2007 thought the then amount of $1.25 million was really not adequate to do very much in terms of replenishment. As some of you may also know, this was a good year in the General Assembly in that $2 million are being provided to this agency for oyster replenishment, which will be shelling of as many areas as possible. So that's a little background. The other part is that Delegate Margaret Ranson carried this legislation and took it through the General Assembly process unscathed. There was really no regrets about this legislation from other legislators, and it was really something that went forward very expertly through the process. And if you turn to page 3 in your evaluation, now that we talked about the taxes, will be no longer as of July 1. So this is effective July 1. So July 1, there are no taxes. Replenishment or the inspection. So towards the bottom of page 3 in your evaluation, you see the oyster resource user fees. And I will go over them briefly. By hand, taking oysters by hand, which is usually a seaside situation, would be a $50 charge or fee. Any gear, such as shaft tongs or hand tongs or scrape or dredge, the gears that you're most familiar with hearing about, that would be $300, with the caveat that once an oyster harvester pays the $300, that harvester is covered for any type of gear for that year. So it's not an accumulative situation with the gear amounts. The shucking houses, they're, from what I understand, there are about 35 shucking houses in the state. There's a lot in the Northern Neck, and there's really only about 4 large oyster shucking houses, with one or two perhaps that would end up as we go forward in the greater than 25,000 gallons of shucked oysters, which is a large volume. There will be a few in the 10,000 to 25,000 gallon gradation. Most will be in the 1,000 to 10,000. And the oyster buyers, there has been a situation in the past with trucks and also buyer places of business. The legislation established pretty clearly that the truck or location would be $100, multiple trucks or locations would be $300. So that's the business part of it. That's the trucking part of it. If you jump down below commercial aquaculture there, you'll see buyers from the catcher. So that is on those who are actually getting the oysters from the harvester. And those fees are established as new fees of $50 on a single place of business with one boat or motor vehicle, and $100 for multiple boats or vehicles for buying oysters. So that is new. The last one to talk about is commercial aquaculture operations on riparian grounds or general oyster planting grounds, a.k.a. leased grounds or private grounds. I mean, we use all those words interchangeably. That would be $50. One thing to talk about, and we can talk about a little bit more next month, is if you allow the public hearing, of course, but the $50 charge there would be in combination with the $300 charge if a harvester is harvesting oysters both on public at some point and on private at another point. So the private season really is about to kick off very strongly coming up through the summer, but someone could turn around the fall and want to work the public rocks, and that would be $300. So that would be $300 plus $50. One thing to let you know about is this is not a fisheries plan. This is an agency plan. So all the, I don't even like to call them divisions, but the entire agency sat down from different expertise and met on three different occasions. The commissioner was able to meet on two of those occasions, and we went through the process of how we think this is going to go forward because it's new and it's a little different. And we haven't finalized everything, but we have some pretty good ideas as an agency. One is the fees, you'll be able to pay your oyster resource user fee starting June 1, even though it's not effective, the legislation, until July 1. And that is typical to what you know about license sales for other gears. They usually start December 1. So there will be that advance sale possible June 1. Another aspect of what our planning is that we know that the shucking house licenses are that's a pretty large amount of money. Agents that we have currently may handle, the estimate from Dr. Barth was sometimes they're handling $10,000 to $15,000, but it's spread out. Now you have a situation where it can be a pulse that's pretty quick for this amount of money. So the offline or the agent sales will not apply to the shucking houses, and that's in your evaluation. The other thing that we talked about, which will need a little talk at the public hearing, and we hope to have enough harvesters that will understand, if you are an oyster hand scraper and you're out with two other commercial registered licensed fishermen, there's three of you. Right now, through trial and error, it took a little while, but probably around 2008 or 9, maybe 2009, it was established that only one of the two or three that are on the boat need to have the gear license. The others, in order to share in the bushel limit, which is 24 bushels per boat currently and 8 per person, they have to at least have the commercial registration license. For the oyster resource user fee, all harvesters will have to pay the $300. And that's going to take some creative work this time around in 2013 because many have already bought their commercial registration license. So we're certainly going to have to get in touch and let them know that that's going to be the case. The reason is, practically, when you're on a vessel with two other people, it's not as if one person is just the designated gear operator. Everyone has access to that gear throughout the course of a harvesting day. Everyone is sharing the bushel limits, and you know, it just makes sense that that's the way the oyster resource harvester fee should be applied to all on the vessel. And there are a few other things that we will keep working on, but right now we think that this is something that will be fairly bumpy in 2013. It'll have a few little bumps in 2013. By 2014, things will smooth out. Staff has already thought about, I think Dr. Barth came up with an idea that for the registration process, when letters go out to harvesters to get their commercial registration license, there will also be an indication, a checkbox, something along those lines, and information that if you plan to oyster, it's going to be an oyster resource user fee of X amount. The other thing to add, which is a real departure, but it's very necessary, we had another piece of legislation that came through the General Assembly that involves a lifetime saltwater licenses for seniors, those 65 and older, that right now there is no license for age 65 and older in the Commonwealth. And the benefit of this license, which there should be some information towards the back of your evaluation, the benefit is that it'll allow Virginians to have reciprocity in fishing in the other jurisdiction with Maryland. We've had a reciprocity agreement since 1993, but since with Maryland and PRSC, but since there's no license, and Maryland does have a license, the reciprocity hasn't been there. It does disadvantage a number of folks who like to fish in both areas, and that's the basis for the legislation. The reason this is being brought up today, the oyster resource user fees and the lifetime saltwater fishing license for age 65 and older would both be applied to Chapter 1090, which is the license fees regulation. They both would be in the same regulation. So with your concurrence, staff would like to recommend that the Commission authorize a public notice to advertise amendments to Chapter 4 VAC 20, 1090, 10, and sequence that will establish the oyster resource user fees that you just looked at and have looked at before, I know, and also to establish the lifetime saltwater recreational fishing license for any resident 65 and older, and that charge would be $5. And that's really covering most of the highlights, Commissioner.
Any questions of Rob on this, Ms. Haney?
Rob, who would be responsible for the reporting at this point, the harvester or the buyer?
I really like that question. It's going to be on the harvesters. And what happens is harvesters in the Regulation 610, in our reporting regulation, are also buyers, though, because of the oyster product owners. And the confusion I was trying to portray was that in 2007, these oyster product owners and harvesters were established for lease round for private ground. A lot of the reports didn't come from them because they thought their job was done once they filled out the tax documents and indicated how many bushels we had. So what happens now is there will be, as of July 1, no tax documents. There will be one avenue to report. It will be a lot easier to know who should be reporting, just like we do with other species, because anyone who purchases the oyster resource user fee, they certainly have declared an intention to do something with oysters. It'll be typical to our system we have now. We have harvesters for croaker or cod that they may not harvest, but at least they send in an indication that they did not harvest. So it really has taken over 5 years, and it hasn't been accomplished through the tax system by getting better reporting. Some buyers will report. The harvesters from public ground have always been supposed to report. This will improve things quite a bit. It's at $280,000 as an expectation. That is not the only benefit of this program. However, it shouldn't be diminished, the fact that that $280,000, if this agency is fortunate enough to continue to have a good, solid replenishment budget, as it will have coming up starting July 1, then you would expect that oyster replenishment fund to grow as well. So there's lots of good things here that haven't been around before.
Any other questions around Mr. Plummer?
Well, we're required to hold this hearing, having this amended statute, and it's impacting fees, and we regulate fees, so we have to hold the hearing. But I was curious to know if, with the record keeping, that's required of everybody in the chain, not the reporting, but the record keeping.
Yes, 282204, Code of Virginia.
Okay.
And that's mentioned in the legislation that's in your packet. In fact, there's some strike-throughs, and it makes it pretty clear that all have to keep the record keeping. And what we typically have for mandatory reporting, just as a reminder, buyers are expected to keep those records for a year.
Any other questions, Ms.
Yeah.
Fox?
On the fishing license issue, item A says any resident or non-resident individual may apply and receive a lifetime saltwater recreational license.
That's right.
For $250. Mm-hmm. Then down below it says any resident age 65 and older can get one for $5. So I gather a non-resident can still have one, but it cost them $250. Is that correct?
Right, and if there are any doubts, John Bull is somewhere close by. I think he had something to do with this. Did you hear the question?
Could you say it again, please?
It's just that if you are a non-resident, you still have to pay the $250.
I believe that's correct. The intent of this legislation is to provide Virginia residents age 65 and older an opportunity to purchase at their option, if they choose to, a senior license, a paper license,
right,
that they could then have in hand if they wanted to fish in other jurisdictions under the reciprocity agreement. This was not intended to address non-residents.
Okay.
Yeah. Any other questions? Any objection to this hearing being held next month? All right. That's approved then.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.